Amen. Will you please open your Bibles with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and we'll be reading in verse 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. If you're not familiar with the book of Hebrews, turn towards the very back of your Bible and then turn back a few books and you should run into the book of Hebrews. If you're a guest with us this morning, we are continuing our series entitled Meaningful Membership. In this series, we're exploring and unpacking what the Bible teaches us about church membership, its importance and its implications for our lives. Up to this point in the series, we've first of all examined the biblical basis of church membership, seeing that the New Testament actually shows us that Christians are supposed to be formally united. They are supposed to be belonging in an official way to a local church. And then after studying the biblical basis, we transitioned to start looking at various commitments that are involved with church membership on behalf of individual church members. First of all, we looked at the commitment to be a regular attending church member. The most basic fundamental responsibility that church members have are to gather regularly with the church to which they belong when that church gathers together for corporate worship. Second of all, we looked at the commitment to build a healthy church. We saw this in Ephesians chapter 4, that God expects the church or individual church members to have it in their heart to make sure that they are a part of building up the church so that it develops and grows into everything He desires it to be. That means we must be serving members. That means we must be unifying members. That means we must be maturing members. And fourthly, that means we must be loving members. We looked at all of that last Sunday together. And this Sunday, we're going to continue exploring another commitment that church membership entails for church membership. And that is the commitment to church leadership. While I was in college, I was a member of Nettleton Baptist Church in Jonesboro, Arkansas. And during my time at Nettleton Baptist, Dr. Ronnie Mays was the senior pastor of the church, and Craig Miller was the minister to students. As a member there of Nettleton Baptist, I learned a lot from Pastor Ronnie and Pastor Craig. I remember one Sunday, which was very impactful for me. It was transformational for me moving forward as a future pastor, but also as a church member for years to come. Pastor Ronnie had just finished giving the invitation. The service was concluding, and he calls on Craig, the student pastor, to come up on stage to make a few announcements and then to close the service in prayer. Ronnie steps down from the stage and he's making his way to the back of the auditorium and is going to exit at one of the side doors. Craig immediately, I believe he was sitting on the front, he comes up on stage, gives an announcement to the church, and as Ronnie was exiting, Craig did something and said something that had a lasting impact upon my life. As Brother Ronnie was about to exit, Craig said, "Pastor Ronnie, I need to make my way over to one of our other buildings. We've got a youth event that's immediately following the service." He says, "Is it okay with you that if I call on someone else to come up here and to close our service out in prayer?" And I looked back at Pastor Ronnie, and Pastor Ronnie nodded his head in agreement to Craig Miller, the student pastor. And then Craig went on to say this. He said, "Guys, I wanted to make sure that I asked our pastor's permission before doing something contrary to what he had told me to do, because I take pastoral authority so seriously." When Craig said that from the pulpit, it really, for the next 15 years, as I left Nettleton Baptist Church, I began to ponder what my responsibilities were as a church member to the authorities that God had placed over me in the local church. What were my actions and attitudes supposed to be like as a church member to those leaders God had placed over my life? Church membership as we see in the New Testament, it entails responsibilities that church members have to church leaders. And one passage in the New Testament that brings this to light in a very clear way is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. In this passage of Scripture, we see that every church member bears the responsibility to obey and to submit to their church's leadership. In verse 17, when the writer of Hebrews speaks of leaders of the church, he is speaking about those who were the heads of congregations back in this day. The titles given to them in the New Testament would have referred to the same office with different words of pastor, elder, or overseer. Those are three interchangeable words which designate of all of the same office of church leadership. In this passage, I want you to pay close attention to what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Don't skip over that personal pronoun, your. It's possessive, and it tells us something very insightful in this text. It tells us that there was a binding relationship between individual Christians and respective leaders, and between respective leaders and individual Christians, in the sense that those individual Christians could identify who their specific leaders were, and those specific leaders could identify who those people entrusted to their care. There's no way around it for this passage to make any sense, and we looked at this in our first sermon on this in this series, Meaningful Membership. There was some kind of understanding of church membership. There was some kind of covenant that individual believers entered into to be a part of a particular fellowship, and particular leaders knew who they were accountable for. In this passage, the writer of Hebrews, he is requesting that individual church members be exhorted to two actions towards their respective leaders. What were those two exhortations? Number one, he says to obey, and number two, he says to submit to them. Now, these two words are virtually synonyms, but the second word has a slightly different nuance. The word obey in verse 17, it means to listen to yield to comply with. It pictures a church leader as someone who gives instructions to the church, and then the individual church members, whether that's through counseling, through preaching, or through teaching, they listen to that instruction, they take it to heart, and then they comply with it. They obey it. They carry out what they have been taught or instructed on. The second word, submit, it's a slightly stronger word than the first word, obey. Listen to what David Allen says in his commentary on Hebrews. This second word is a stronger, more specific word than the preceding obey, and it carries with it the implication that one is to yield when the leader's rule is at variance with the reader's wishes. In this passage, the writer of Hebrews is saying, look, there are going to be times when you have leaders who are going to ask you to do something or lead the church to do something that maybe you would have done it another way if you were the one leading. But because they're your leaders and you belong to the church that God has put them over, you are to give way to their leadership and to follow them in the way they're leading the church, even if it's not necessarily the way you would have chosen to do it. This word here is describing, or it's telling us that there can be differences of opinion, but at the end of the day, the responsibility of church members and following church leaders is to go in the direction they're leading the church and to submit to the instructions that they are given. Now, let me make a point here. This does not mean that a pastor has the ability to command a church member to do whatever he wants them to do. This passage is assuming that a pastor is leading the people from the authority of God's word. He's leading them to be on mission with Jesus and leading them to, for their lives to be in conformity to Christ. And so the heartbeat of this passage is that the writer of Hebrews is saying, hey guys, as individual church members, your responsibility is to obey and to submit to your leaders. And in verse 17, the writer of Hebrews goes on to give us two reasons as to why every church member should obey and follow their church leaders. We'll look at those two reasons after we read the passage together. Let's look at verse 17. Obey your readers or your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Father, we ask that you'll take your holy word which you inspire. And Father, we ask that you'll work it into every person's heart this morning so that your will is ultimately done and we understand better the implications of church membership upon our lives. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. There are two reasons the writer of Hebrews gives for church members to obey their church leaders. And the first reason is designated by the preposition for in the first part of verse 17. Look at the verse again. Obey your leaders and submit to them. And then notice the preposition for. For they keep watch over your souls. This word for here, it's designating a reason. It's giving us a basis as to why church members are to obey their leaders. The reason why church members are to obey their leaders is because your leaders are keeping watch over your souls. I want you to listen to what this word keep watch means. It means to be alertly concerned about, to look after, to care for. It means to be sleepless, to keep awake and to watch. It pictures a constant vigilance over something. Standing behind this word is the imagery of a shepherd out in the field watching over the sheep of his flock. Throughout the New Testament, we find that pastors and their God-given assignments from God, they're often compared to shepherds who have been given the task of watching over God's sheep. In the New Testament, we see that Jesus, actually in verse 20 of chapter 13 here, is described as the great shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 4 or 5, he is described as the chief shepherd. And those pastors under Jesus are described as under-shepherds. So here's the picture you have. Jesus Christ is the high and great chief shepherd over the universal church. And every local church, God has given pastors to be over those congregations, to watch over them and to tend them. Now, what does this word keeping watch specifically designate? It's got two specific notions here. When pastors are described as those, or church leaders as those keeping watch, number one, it denotes pastors as being those who are alertly concerned, alertly caring for church members. So here's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. He's saying, church members, obey and submit to your church leaders because they care deeply for you. And notice how he describes their caring. He says they watch over, they care for your souls. They're not just concerned about your physical well-being, though that is a concern to them. But souls here, it speaks of the spiritual dynamic of man, of their whole persons. And he's saying, do what your leaders tell you to do. Follow the direction they're leading because they deeply care for you. Do you want to know something, Lakeland Baptist Church? There's not a group of people in all of the world that I think about more than I think about you. Not a group of people in all of the world that are on my heart the way Lakeland Baptist Church is. For me and for my staff, you're not an afterthought. You're an unceasing thought. God called me to be your pastor 2 years ago. And God has put this deep love and abiding sense of responsibility in my heart for each and every one of you. You want to know something? Out of all of the titles that I can have, do you want to know the one that's most meaningful to me? It's to be called your pastor. Because that word, it just expresses the heart that I have for you. There are nights, as this word implies, somebody who's constantly vigilant, who's awake and sleepless, there are nights when I just don't sleep well. I wake up at 2, 3, 4 in the morning because there's someone or there's a situation in our church that's really restless in my heart. So I'm out of bed, and in the quietness of my living room, I'm having alone time with God, and I'm seeking Him, and I'm lifting up the situation. I'm lifting up the individual or individuals involved, and I'm just asking God to work in a way in which only He can, because He knows the burden that I have for my church family. When I was putting this message together in my office, as I was typing on my computer screen and I was thinking about what this word keeping watch entails, caring and having a deep concern, you know what I started doing? I started weeping. I actually started crying in my office as I'm putting this sermon together, because I'm thinking about just various people who are coming to my mind and this grave task that God's given me as your leader to lead you in the way that God would have you to go. And my heart was just overwhelmed, and I just started crying. You see, the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen to your leaders. Take to heart what they're saying. Follow them. Imitate them. Do what they're asking, because they deeply care for you. Listen, this is why I labor so diligently. I may not be the best pastor in the United States or in the world, and I never have made claim to that, but I'll tell you something that I do, and I can say it before God. I work hard at what God has called me to do. I study, and I read, and I plan, and I think through things, and I give oversight to the matters of this church, because I care for you and I care for what God wants to do with Lakeland Baptist Church. I preach faithfully the Word of God because I care for you. There's a reason why I block off my mornings through the week. It's because I know there's nothing greater that I can do for you after you've had a long week at work and you've encountered the trials of life than to study and pore over this Word, to understand it correctly in its context, to let it come into my heart and to interpret how God would have me convey it to you with specific application. The reason that I'm so diligent with this Word is because I care for you. And I pray fervently through the week. I take time to remember the conversations I've had with you. I take time and I lift you up with your specific needs and situations in life because I deeply care for you. You see, the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen to your leaders, obey them and submit to them because they're keeping watch. And keeping watch means they're alertly caring for you at all times. But there's a second implication of this word. Keeping watch not only denotes an alert caring, but it also pictures the pastor and leaders as those who are alertly protecting church members. As you read through the New Testament, especially in Paul's writings, he charges other pastors with the task of protecting the people that have been entrusted to their care. Listen to Acts chapter 20, verse 28, where Paul is instructing the pastors at Ephesus. He says, be on guard for yourselves and for all of the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He has purchased with His own blood. You see, as under shepherds, we have the responsibility of guarding, of protecting, of keeping watch over the flock that God's given to us. You see, we're always alert and we're attentive to protecting the church from false doctrine, from temptations, from the deceit of the world, from the schemes of Satan, and from various sins that can come into our lives. The writer of Hebrews is saying, obey and submit to your church leaders as good church members, because they're watching over you to protect you for your own spiritual benefit. They have your spiritual well-being on their minds, and they're trying to lead you in such a way that you will be able to thrive in Christ Jesus. Do you remember when one of your sons or daughters was little and they had an object and they would start running towards a receptacle in the house? I know you can picture that right now in your mind. What did you do as a mother or a father? You jumped up, no, and you ran over there to keep them from sticking something into that receptacle. You were alertly watching, protecting them from something that they didn't realize was dangerous to them. When someone's gossiping in the church, why do we as church leaders step up and have a personal meeting to address that situation It's not because we're trying to single out individual church members and make their lives difficult. No, it's because we understand how destructive that kind of speech can be and how it can spread and cause division rather than unifying the church. When a church member starts missing church regularly, why do we write a letter? Why do we pick up the phone and call? Why do we ask someone else in the church, hey, please touch base with this person? It's because we know how dangerous it is as individual Christians to try to live the Christian life in isolation and not in dependence upon Jesus and in fellowship with the rest of his body to which you belong. When we hear that a church member has been caught up in some kind of a sin, why do we go out of our way to set up that lunch appointment or the dinner appointment or to say, hey, when you get off work, could you stop by the office? Why do we put ourselves in these uncomfortable situations to talk about things that none of us look forward to talking about? It's because we care. It's because we're trying to protect our church members from the destructiveness of sin and all the consequences that can happen. And we have this hope. If we can instruct, if we can gently and lovingly correct them and point them in the right direction, maybe they'll see Jesus a little bit better in this situation. And when they look on Jesus and they remember what Jesus did for them in dying for their sin and going to the grave and coming back as conquering King and Lord, that they will say, you know what? This sin doesn't have anything to offer me compared to what my faith in Jesus has to offer me. And we're saying maybe that meeting will make a difference and protect him or protect her from the consequences of sin. And this task of keeping watch that leaders have, it's not something we do flippantly. It's not something that's just so casual to us. Look at what verse 17 says. They keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. This phrase, as those who will give an account, it tells the reason why leaders are so diligent at caring and protecting. It's because we know one day when our pastorates reach their end, there's a tribunal we're going to have to stand before, and that tribunal is God. And we're going to have to answer to him one day for how we led those people that he entrusted to our care. I remember hearing a story, I forget the preacher, but many years ago, who was complaining about the size of his congregation, and it was so small, and he ran into another preacher, and he said, "Why are you so down? Why are you not more lifted up?" And he said, "Well, my congregation, I think it was something only the size of 20 people." To which this older and wiser preacher looked at him and said, "One day, 20 people is more than you're ever going to want to have to give an account to before God." You see, it's a serious calling, and we take it seriously to lead the church in the ways that God would have us to, and being faithful to the word and to the mission that he's given us, because we one day will have to give an account. I remember Pastor Johnny, when I was mentoring with him at First Baptist Woodstock, he would tell mentees before and those he was currently mentoring, he says, "You never know the pressure and the weight of this job until you're the one that actually sits down in that chair and it's on you." And I'll tell you, I experienced that burden, that responsibility, that heaviness that comes from being entrusted to the precious saints of God who've been bought with the blood of Jesus. And we take seriously our preaching and our teaching and our counseling and our training and our vision casting and our leading of the church, because we know this is what we've been called to and one day that we'll have to answer for. And in my heart as a pastor, there's nothing I want more one day than to be able to fulfill this calling as Paul spoke of in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, when I give an account for Lakeland Baptist Church. "Father, Lord Jesus, I did my best to present every man that you entrusted to me to be mature, complete in Christ Jesus." They were maturing in you. They were ministering in the church, and they were on mission. See, church members are supposed to, they bear the responsibility for obeying and submitting to leaders, number one, because leaders keep watch over them. They care for them and they protect them. But there's a second reason why the writer of Hebrews says every church member should obey and submit to leaders, and it's found in the last part of verse 17. And it's also designated by the word for. Church members are to obey and keep watch, as the writer of Hebrews says. He says, let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Here's the logical flow of the text. God has appointed certain leaders to be over a particular congregation. Those leaders are to keep watch. They're to care for the saints of God. They're to protect the saints of God. One day, they are going to give an account. And then the writer of Hebrews encourages the church members. He says this. He says, make sure that they can do this. What is the this in verse 17? The this is the exercising of their pastoral duties. Make sure that they can care for you and protect you, that they can fulfill their God-given assignment with joy rather than with grief. This phrase, with joy rather than with grief, it describes the manner in which the pastor or the leaders exercise their oversight of the church. The first word, joy, it speaks of extreme gladness. It speaks of a ministry of delight. The second word, grievous, it means to go through an experience where there is deep sighing and there's deep groaning from within because the circumstances are so unfavorable. So here's the picture that we have. We have two contrasting kinds of ministry pictures when a pastor stands before the Lord one day. On the one hand, this ministry experience was positive. It was joyous. On the other hand, it was negative. On the one hand, it was joyous. On the other hand, it was grievous. On the one hand, it was a blessing. On the other hand, it was burdensome. On the one hand, it was pleasurable. But on the other hand, it was painful. And the writer of Hebrews is bringing this out, that leaders can actually pastor in context to where it's an extreme joy or it's an extreme grief for them. And he says, make sure that you're in the former category, that your church leaders can lead you and pastor you with joy. It's a positive experience. It's a blessing in their account. And he gives the reason why, because he says, for this would be unprofitable for you. What is he saying here? He's saying if it's a negative rather than a positive experience for the leaders, he says for those individual church members and for the church at large, it would be unprofitable, a word that means hurtful, a word that means no help. It means detrimental. It means to no advantage. Put simply, church members and churches that complicate the leaders of leading of the church that God has put in place, he basically is saying in the end, it won't go well for those church members, and it won't go well for those churches. Churches that complicate the leaders' leading of the congregation, it's harmful, first of all, to the whole body. Let's think about this. God desires the whole body, as we saw last week, to be built up, to become a healthy church. Here's the thing. A church is only healthy as a whole based upon how healthy it is through its individual members. And so every church member that takes on an attitude, actions in their attitude or actions where they are resisting leadership and they're not following leadership, that does end up impacting one or two or three others, and it also impacts the body as a whole. You and I, we talked about this last week. If you have one part of your body which is injured, even though it's one part, the rest of your body feels it in some sense. And that's the same thing for church membership. When you've got one member who's not getting on board and following the way they should, it does to some degree affect the overall health of the church. But number two, it harms not only the whole body, but it harms individuals in the here and now, and also at a point to come when they stand before the Lord. Listen to what the scripture says, Galatians chapter 6. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he also will reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. You see, God's hand in some way of blessing is not upon those church members who try to make the leadership of the churches, their church's leadership assignment difficult. God has a way, as we see in Hebrews chapter 12, of disciplining and judging those sons and those daughters who belong to Him. God has many tools of discipline in His toolbox. I've experienced them many times over in my life. And God can use whatever He desires at His disposal to correct a wayward church member who does not live in submission to church leadership. And not only are there consequences in the present, and that's up to God to decide what God does there, but there's also consequences to come when you stand before the Lord. You can have a church member who's erring, and for whatever reason, they've got a hard heart against leadership. And when they do go home to be with the Lord, the Bible speaks in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that there are going to be Christians who stand before Jesus, and they will have no rewards to present to Him because their lives did not please Him. So the writer of Hebrews is saying, obey your leaders, number one, because they deeply care for you. Number two, obey your leaders because disobedience is not profitable for church members. Before my pastor, Johnny Hunt, ended up at Woodstock, I believe he had four other pastorates that preceded that time. During my travels with Johnny, when he would speak at pastors' conferences, usually the Timothy Barnabas conferences, he would give the guys just an overview of his ministry journey. I don't remember all the specific names of the churches where he served, but he would talk about the first church. I believe he was there for 4 or 5 years, and then he would move on to the second church, such and such Baptist church, and then he would say, I was there for 2 years. Then I moved on to such and such Baptist church, and then he'd backtrack, and he'd say, I know some of you guys are saying, well, 2 years, man, that sure wasn't a long time to be at a church, to which he would reply, you weren't there. Pastor Johnny, in private conversations with me, he would tell me about the difficulties he had pastoring that church. Things that you would never think church members would do to one of their leaders that God had put over them. And I often would think, man, Jesus, what blessings did that church miss out on? Because that church wouldn't follow his leadership and obey Jesus Christ by submitting to the leaders that he had brought, God moved him on to another church. And I'm thinking, he finally put him in a church. Every church he went to was smaller than the church he had previously pastored. And when he finally wound up at Woodstock, they were a congregation of 250. And within a matter of years, they had already grown up to 6,000 to 7,000 people. And I'm thinking, God, what this church missed out on, because that church would not submit to a godly man that he had put in place. I've got a pastor friend who pastors up in Ohio. He's been at his church now for 3.5 years. And the first part of his ministry there was very difficult. It was so difficult that he was actually thinking of putting out resumes to go somewhere else. He just did not know if he was going to be able to hang on. He had one deacon in the church, and my friend had basically come to this summary concerning this deacon. He said, I believe he's against something just because I'm for it. And I believe he's for something just because I'm against it. There was this constant just agitation from this one man in the church. But he weathered it out, he stood strong, and he stayed through even when it was difficult. And God actually ended up moving that man from the church. And I talked with my friend not long ago. God has been weeding out the congregation, getting the right people in place. And he said, Donald, after 3.5 years, I'm starting to see signs of life in this church. Here's my point. Pastorates can be a joy or they can be a burden for a pastor. And a lot of times that depends upon how the people are responding to the leadership of the church. I want to say from my heart, Lakeland Baptist Church, thank you for making my first pastorate a joy. I want to say thank you for the things that I've taught, that you've applied them to your life. I love hearing stories where people are telling me what you said in the sermon, I did this, and God's been using it in my life. That blesses my heart. Thank you for the changes that we've implemented. I know some of them are not changes you would have made personally. But I believe the Lord's been leading in those directions. I thank you for coming together as a congregation and being willing to submit to that leadership and to go forward. I thank you for being willing to rally around to support me and to support the rest of my staff, a good team which God has assembled here at Lakeland Baptist Church, a team which I deeply, deeply love. I want to thank you for making this pastorate here a pleasurable one from the bottom of my heart. Church members, in this text we see, are to obey and to submit to church leaders. Number one, because church leaders keep watch over their members. And number two, because disobedience is not profitable for church members. So as we wrap up this message, what are some application points? Number one, let me tell you what we as a staff need from you more than anything. Number one, we need you to pray for us. Pastoring a church requires a God-given strength, a God-given wisdom, a God-given ability that we just don't have on our own. And we need you, if there's nothing else you can do for us, to please faithfully, regularly intercede on behalf of all of your church leaders, asking for God to be working in our hearts, leading and stirring us in the right direction for His glory, for His mission here at Lakeland Baptist Church. Pray for us. Number two, I want to ask you to please follow us. Pastors who preach the Word of God, they're godly men, they need to be followed. If a church doesn't have leaders that are godly and faithful to the Scripture, they need to be fired. They need to be replaced with godly men who do those things. And once you have those godly men in place, get behind them and follow them where they lead you into sanctification and holiness and into completing the mission that Jesus has for His church. I could tell you the team that we have assembled here at Lakeland Baptist Church, we have some godly leaders on our team. I hold my staff members accountable to their walk with the Lord, and I know that they are high men and women of character and conduct. And my exhortation to you in praying for us is to follow us. Number two, pray for us, follow us. And I don't want this to sound self-serving. I say it on behalf of my other staff members. But will you encourage them? Ministry's tough. A lot of times we hear more of the negatives than we hear of the positives as leaders. I just want to be raw with you and just be open, because you don't know these things if these things are not brought to light. I want to ask you, will you be intentional with Randy? Will you be intentional with Mitchell? Will you be intentional with Glenn, with Morgan, with Jesse? Will you pull those guys and girl aside, and will you speak encouraging words in their lives? Will you write them encouraging notes? Will you let them know how they blessed you in some way in which they led an event, or they taught a lesson, or they did some kind of kind act of service? Will you be a positive voice speaking into their lives to build them up? I want to tell you, I love them. They're a great team. One of the best things God gave me in calling me to this church is giving me a good team. I love them. I want them to be built up. I want them to be encouraged. Will you rally around them and be their biggest cheerleaders and cheer them on to the end to finish their callings with joy? Please pray for us. Follow us. Encourage us. Number four, will you imitate us? The scriptures speak about pastors being called to live such an exemplary life that they are actually able to say, model my life because my life models Christ. The things you see us doing in trying to be like Christ, take those things and apply them to your own life. And then lastly, something you can do for us is to come to us. Oftentimes, we're the last to know something's happened, or somebody's upset, or somebody got left out, and it wasn't intentional, it was an overlook. And before we know it, so-and-so's mad, and they're leaving the church. Well, first of all, understand that when you became a member of Lakeland Baptist Church, you entered into a covenant. So you don't just have the right to say, I'm just going to leave them and I don't want anything else to do with them. No, a mature believer says, look, I came in and I promised to take responsibility for them, and they're taking responsibility for me. So I'm going to set up a meeting. So let me tell you something. Nobody has ever come into one of the pastor's offices and disappeared, never to be seen again. I think sometimes we think that the pastor's office is like a black hole, and people who come in, they never leave. Guys, we want you. If there's an issue, we love you. We care about you. We want to hear you out, and we may not see eye to eye at the end of the conversation, but we're here to help. We're here to cheer you on in Christ Jesus. So please come to us before there's any talking outside. Hey, I want to go get with my leader, whether it's Jesse, Morgan, Mitchell, Randy, or me, and say, hey, I want to settle this in person. I want to make sure we're on the same page and things are being understood correctly. So that's what we need you to do for us. Now, let me tell you what we need to do to be better leaders here at Lakeland, specifically based on this passage, and we'll be concluding. One writer says, based on this text, by the way the author exhorts church members, he is also, although indirectly and in a delicate manner, he's warning the leaders of the heavy responsibility that's resting upon them. One of the major implications of this passage is that we, as your pastoral staff, we have a responsibility one day to stand before God and to give an account for those who have been entrusted to our care. Currently, that's a difficult job for us as your church leaders at this point. The church roles here at Lakeland Baptist Church have been neglected for many, many years. We presently don't know who we are and are not responsible for. Let me give you an example. Currently, our roles tout somewhere around 3,000 members. That's a lot of people. On a given Sunday, we usually average around 350 in service. So there's approximately 2,600 individual church members, according to this text, that I'm responsible for, Jesse, Mitchell, Glenn, Randy, and Morgan, and 2,600 of them have never even made themselves known to us. We simply don't know who they are. So what we need to do as church leaders, and this is a pastoral, biblical, theological endeavor on our parts, is we need to clean up the church roles. When I came to Lakeland a couple of years ago, David Allen told me and the other staff that one of the first things we need to start moving towards and giving our attention to is cleaning up the church roles because they've gotten way out of hand. And so we have already started a process underway. Back in 2015, we passed new church bylaws. And in those bylaws, we outlined a process for cleaning up our church roles. And let me tell you how this process is going to move forward. Our objective is to restore as many people who have abandoned membership at Lakeland Baptist Church as we possibly can, to reunite them with this fellowship. Our objective is not to embarrass people or to upset them. We just want to know who are we actually responsible for. So here's how the process will work. We'll follow our bylaws. We've already identified two distinct lists from our database system. We have a list of inactive resident members, those who are supposed to still be living in the area, but they have forsaken Lakeland for some reason. And then we have a list of inactive non-resident members, those who apparently are still members, but they've moved away to another state, to another city, and they no longer attend our church. We've put together a small team of long-standing faithful members here at Lakeland Baptist Church. Let me tell you those team members. Jerry Bowman, Dortha Wade, Wayne and Carlene Galbraith, Debbie McDaniel, and Mitchell Martin. We have been assembling this team together, and we've started with the inactive non-resident list, those members who have moved away supposedly from the area, and they're no longer able to be with us in a physical gathering. That team has been meeting together, and this is what their objective has been. Number one, to go through the list and identify anybody on that list who has left the church because they've died. The database system's not been kept up to date, and so some are on that list who have died, and that's not been accurately recorded. So we want to note that. Number two, those who we know on that list who are actually attending another church. A lot of churches today do not call former churches and ask for a transfer of membership. And so we want to get clarity. If somebody we know is already plugged into another church and they're a member of that church, we want to know that. Number three, we want to know if somebody on that list has actually, we know, moved from the Lewisville area and they're now living somewhere else. And then we also want to know who is on this list, possibly because the database system's not been kept up to date, that shouldn't be on this list. Hey, this person actually comes. They're not here as faithfully as what we'd like, but they're actually here. So we want to transfer them from that list to the correct list. And then we want to identify who on that list do we need to contact, because we just don't know where they are. We don't know anything about them. And when we get to that point and we've narrowed the list down, this is what we do. We remove those from the list who have died. So they're no longer living, so they're not a part of our active membership. Number two, we remove those people who we know are attending another church and they no longer want to be members at Lakeland Baptist. Number three, we remove those people we know who have moved from the Lewisville area to another area. We studied several weeks ago that to be a church member, the basic fundamental obligation, first of all, is that to be a member is you actually gather together with the church to which you belong. A person who has moved off for whatever other reason to take a job and no longer wants to be a part of Lakeland by attending, we need to know that so we can remove them. And then fourth of all, we want to add persons back to the right list if they've been on that list wrongly for some reason. So what do we do about the people that we don't know where they're at when we work through that list? Glenn has put together a letter, and it's a letter that we will send out to the known address that we have for those people. We'll give them 2 weeks to respond, and we're even going to have something set up on the website so they can go online. We've got all this put together. Jesse's working on it. And they're going to be able to fill out online whether or not they want to continue to be a member of Lakeland, whether or not they want us to remove them from membership. And after we've gone through that process and we haven't heard back from people who have abandoned our church, we'll bring before the church at one of our members' meetings what we'll call an abandonment list. And this list will be presented to the church. You can look over the list. And then the church, just as you voted to bring people in to this congregation, we will have a vote during that meeting to remove those people from the membership of our church who have moved on for some reason and have said, I don't want to be a part of Lakeland Baptist Church any longer. Now, let me tell you what we're not doing as we close. We're not removing people who have been sent out from this church who are on the mission field. We're not removing people who are in a retirement home or a nursing home and are not physically able to gather together with our local church. We're not removing those people who are on military assignments that are called out by the government, or those who work for a government agency and are called at will to do what the government says. We're not removing those college students who move off for part of the year to go to school, but then come back, and for an extended period of time, they're still involved in the life of Lakeland Baptist Church. We're intent on removing those people who've said, we have abandoned Lakeland Baptist Church. And as a pastor, and I hope you're seeing as we've studied through these texts together, church membership is not about just having your name on a list. But it's actually about saying, I'm committed to that local body, I'm representing Jesus, I'm taking responsibility for them, and they are taking responsibility for me. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for this process. I want you to pray that as we reach out to many people where we don't even know where they are, that God will use this to bring them back to Lakeland. That's my heart's desire. I want to see many people restored back to this fellowship for whatever reason why they've left Lakeland Baptist Church. A couple of weeks ago, Jerry Bowman told me after I had preached the initial sermon on church membership, is it biblical? He came up to me and he said, I just want you to know how important and meaningful it is to me to be a part of Lakeland Baptist Church. I want you to know from my heart how important it is and meaningful it is to be the pastor of Lakeland Baptist Church. You cherish all that God has done in your life through this church and being and belonging in a formal way. And I cherish God's call to be your leader and the calls upon my team members to be your leaders. And for us to do our job most effectively, to give better pastoral care and to train our people and to reach out in the ways that we need to know who we are and are not responsible for. And the only way that'll be clear is by cleaning up our church roles. And I pray that you'll be prayerful for that. I pray that you'll encourage us in that activity. And if you have questions about it, please feel free to stop by. We want to talk you through this process because it's important for us and it's important for our church moving forward. Today's message, we've talked about the importance of church membership for individual believers coming under the authority of church leaders. Let me tell you something even more important than that. If you're here this morning and you're not familiar with church lingo and you've not been accustomed to being in church very often, it's not the responsibility of coming under church leadership first, but it's the responsibility of coming under the authority of Jesus Christ. This church is not a club. It's not a place where we just come together to hang out. We understand that this is the body of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that there's one God, we're his people that he created, and we've rebelled against him. We're sinners separated from him, condemned with a judgment to come one day for our wrongdoings. But God loved us enough that he sent his son, Jesus, into this world, who lived a perfect life in our place, never once broke the law of God, and then he gave his life up to pay the penalty for our sins, which was death. He took our sin, he took our judgment upon himself. And then 3 days later, he came back from the dead. And the Bible commands us, seeing Jesus as the one who's conquered sin and conquered death, proving that he was God in the flesh, that we come with a bowed knee, saying, Jesus, I need forgiveness of my sins. I need to be restored to my Creator. And I'm asking you to forgive my sins and to come into my life, and I want to submit to your authority. If you've not made that decision before, there are going to be pastors up front. We're going to have decision counselors up here as well. We want to walk you through that process and coming under the authority of Jesus. And then we'll talk about coming under the authority of the local church. But maybe there are some of you here this morning who've been coming to Lakeland, but you've never formally joined. We're going to give you an opportunity this morning to become a part of what God is doing here at Lakeland Baptist Church. I encourage you to make that decision. Would you please stand? Father, thank you for this message. Thank you for this text. God, whatever needs to be done at Lakeland Baptist Church concerning church membership this morning and someone coming to Christ by salvation, Lord, will you accomplish that? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.